Happy 2016, everyone. We made it. We all got to 2015. We're all in 2016. What does the Lord have in store for us this year? Well, it's good things, I believe. Well, we have focused in this past year, 2015, a lot on physical building, getting the addition done, and renovating through the rest of the building. And so that's been good. But it's coming to a close. All the construction workers that have been on site are now off site. And so what remains to be finished is for us to finish. And so we'll be talking to you. We really need to rely on volunteer help now to finish just the little pieces that are left. And one of the major pieces, of course, are the washrooms. But we believe that we can do that, work on that as we go forward. And we have no more money to pay people, so we're going to be volunteering our time and efforts to do this. We've been declaring right from the beginning that we would, our desire and hope and trust is that we'd move into this building debt-free and that we'd be able to enjoy it. Now, we have run short of funds, and back 3 or 4 months ago, we thought to be prudent and to be wise and to be sure that we're not abandoning the community in any way. We approached the bank that we've been dealing with, asked if they would extend to us a line of credit that we could draw upon to, you know, if we got past what we could have. And so we said, well, you know, we need probably a line of credit, $300,000. And when we were sitting in the office over there, he didn't laugh, but he almost laughed. And he said, you know, he said the highest I've ever seen a church get in a line of credit, he said, is what, $60,000. That was unusual circumstances. He says that it can't be set up that way. He said, you have to take a loan out, a mortgage against the property, and it'll be like a loan, a construction loan. We'll give it, you know, you show us and we'll give it. So we said, well, whatever we have to do to set it up, let's do it. So they asked for financials and everything, and we sent that away to Toronto, and they looked that over, and the gentleman came back from the bank and was here from Toronto, plus the local representative. I still remember we were standing out there in that back yard, and he came up and he said, well, he said, I've never seen this happen before. He said, they looked at your financials in Toronto, and he said, they are going to give you a line of credit for $300,000. He said, they have never seen a church like this. Our history of taking on debt, paying it off as we have over the years, the amount of money that we had already raised and what we had finished, you know, already on our own. And so, you know, it's still a debt, but it's not a mortgage, not a loan. And I don't know how God's going to work and exactly how, because our trust is still in Him. Monies are still coming in. And we do thank you for that. Whatever God lays upon your heart to give, encourage you to give. Every week there's money coming in for the building fund. And so we have dipped into that line of credit quite a bit as we've had to finish the, you know, pay the people that have done the work. But we just have decided we're not going to go any more than this. And so that's why we say there's going to need to be a lot of volunteer help. And we'll tell you more about that as we finish up just a little physical projects here in the building. But I believe 2016 is going to be a time when we build the church. And not the physical church, but the spiritual church, the body of Christ. And so we're starting off with a week of prayer and fasting next Sunday. And we're just going to go all week long and encourage you to decide how you want to fast during that week. And everyone can decide on their own how, you know, how much you're going to fast and so forth. So I encourage you to pray and be thinking about that for next week. And then, as mentioned, we're going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here. We're going to show the movie The War Room. How many have seen the movie The War Room? Well, not too many. It's sort of good and bad. Bad that you haven't seen it, but good in the sense that we're going to show it here Tuesday night. It was just in the theater a few months ago, and it's very powerfully done. And the best representation, you know, a true representation of prayer that I've ever seen. And it's just amazing that it was in the, you know, the studios, in the theaters, I mean. And so I just believe if you come on Tuesday night, you watch this film, inspire us, see the value of prayer, launch into prayer for the rest of that week, and just let it continue all year long. We're going to be starting small groups that will go around this theme that we're talking about today. They're going to start in February, and so we need host homes, we need people that will sign up. And so all lots of good things. The children's program is going to be kicking off, and that's going to be exciting. You'll see a lot of kickoffs this week, as you have on this weekend, a lot of kickoffs. So we'll have a lot of kickoffs this year, and we'll see what God wants us to do. We want to clean up some of these areas. Some of these rooms are still cluttered with construction stuff, and so there's lots to be done, but if we all put our hands to it, we're going to see it finished to the glory of God. All right, if you would take out your bulletin and the fill-in sheet inside, we're going to talk and introduce today our theme for 2016. In fact, if you take your bulletin, look right at the front of the bulletin. It says 2016 theme. And it says, do it God's way. Do it God's way. That is our theme for 2016. You're going to come to a fork in the road. This is our life, walking through life. And you come to a point of decision. And you can go God's way or you can go my way. What way are you going to go? Do it God's way. Now we need to just practice this verbally to get that. What are we going to do when we come to that fork in the road? We're going to do it God's way. I would say that there's probably going to be 15, 20 times a day you're going to come to that fork in the road. You may not have realized it in the past that you're coming to that fork, but we do. We have constant choices. Little things, big things, in every sphere and aspect of our life. You come to a point, you have a decision. Will I do it God's way or will I do it my way? And when you have that decision, what are you going to do? You're going to do it God's way. All right, let's talk about it and look at the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God speaks to his people, Israel, to his people. And he says this, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God says, I know, I put before you two ways. Life, death. Blessing, cursing. And then he says, choose life. I'm going to give you a little hint here. Choose life. Why would God have to say that? Why would God feel it's necessary for us to choose life? Or to tell us that we should choose life? Because most of the time we don't. Is incredible. Most of the time we do not follow. In fact, that's your next fill-in. Most Christians do not do it God's way. Most Christians don't do it God's way. They have truly accepted the Lord as their Savior. They have asked God to forgive them, and they have truly been forgiven. They're part of the body of Christ, and now they start living their life. And most Christians don't do it God's way. They enjoy their salvation, but they start down pathways that they are their own choosing. They get themselves into trouble, difficulties, all kinds of things, stress, financial problems, relational problems, and all they get themselves into it. And then what do? They pray and ask God, oh God, help me. Oh God, get me out of this. Lord, I don't know how, but Lord, you're going to have to rescue me from this. And little do they know, they have made a choice earlier on that they have chose their own way. And now it's bringing all these things upon their head. Why would we do that? When God says, here's life, here's death. You know, it's like I said to you this morning, you know, if you walk out that door, there's armed terrorists out there, and they're going to shoot you dead if you walk out that door. But if you walk out this door, you can get out, go to your cars, and go, okay, the meeting's dismissed. Okay. I mean, would we ponder it? What door should I go out? It's not like going out that door. It's not like the view of that door. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. Oh, everybody. Florida's doing it that way. No, that's crazy. If there's the choice of life or death, there's no choice. If it's a choice between blessings in my life or cursings in my life, there's no choice. But there is a choice. And crazily, incredibly, we choose our way. Why is that so? Why is it so? Why do we do that? And then ask God to help us. You know what the scripture tells us in Proverbs? It tells us that when we chose the wrong way, and we made our own decisions, and we get into trouble, it says, then you will call upon me. And this is crazy. The scripture says, and I will not answer you. I will turn my ears from you. And you go, a loving, kind God is telling this to me? That's what he says in the Bible. Because then he goes on to say, because you've chosen your own way. You've rejected my wisdom. You've gone your own way. And then it says this, you will eat the fruit of your own ways. You see, there is a fruit that comes when you plant certain seeds. God will not change the harvest. We want to. We planted wild oats, we've planted all kinds of ideas, our selfish thoughts, or what we think is best, and now we start getting the fruit of it. And we say, oh God, I want that fruit. Would you turn that pear into an apple? Would you turn that into this? God says, I'm not in that business. He said, turn at my command. Walk in my ways. Because his ways will bring blessings. And when we call out to God because we're getting a harvest we don't want, he doesn't give us different fruit. He gives you different seeds. And he says, here, plant these. Plant these. And if we start doing things God's way, then we'll find that blessings and things will overcome us and come up behind us and tackle us and bless us. And he begins then to work all things together for good. The things that were destructive that we brought on ourselves or others have, he will work it for good. But it's not just because we prayed a prayer. It's because we've started to do it God's way. And so the theme of this year is do it God's way. We have a choice. Every day we have a choice. Many times a day we have a choice. We need to decide, 2016, I'm going to do it God's way. I make a decision. I'm going to do it God's way. Now what keeps us from doing it God's way? Well, we have some fill-ins here on your sheet. And let's just follow along and see why, incredibly, we choose our way over God's way. Here's number one. It's because we act on how we feel. We act on how we feel. When is the first time that mankind ever chose their way over God's way? Well, you have to go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in a paradise. I mean, they are in a paradise. They are in a position where they have eternal life. They are in a position where every one of their needs are met. They can eat from the tree of life and all that that means. They have responsibility. They fellowship with God every day. What a beautiful place. No one's ever wronged them. No one's ever cheated them. No one's ever offended them. They're in an idyllic place. But then, Satan through the serpent tempts them. Says, you know, what about this fruit over here? Now let's look at the verse in your notes in Genesis 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She got looking on with her idea, her five senses. She said, it looks good. Really looks good. So this is something that would benefit me. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's desirable. And then got this crazy idea, and this will make me wise. I mean, everything that God has given me, it's not quite sufficient. I mean, this perfect place I am is just not quite good enough. If I eat this fruit, I will be wise. I tell you, it's sort of foolish. Put our wisdom above God's wisdom. says this, God has placed these things in my life. He's told me that this is good for me, this is bad. But you know what? If I had this, that would be a good choice. Now, he's told us, if you eat that, you're going to die. But there's something about us. We still do it. Our natural senses, how we feel. We act on how we feel. We feel angry. We slam the door. We feel upset. We lash out at somebody. Just naturally, we respond. It's amazing. We can know all the truth. We can know everything. And yet somehow, we still choose our own way. I have a friend of mine. We used to talk as a pastor for 40 years, and I've come to some conclusions as a result of pastoring. And here's the conclusion I've come to. And we've talked with my friend about this, and he said, you know, that's absolutely true. Here it is. People do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. You can explain all the ins and outs of it. You can try to show them why it would be wrong or whatever, and why it would be best for them to do this. And they might say, yes, I'm going to do that. But you know what, in the end, they'll do what you want to do. Most people do what they feel to do. They don't even understand where it's coming from. I just feel it's best for me to do this. You know, I'd actually be wise if I do this. It's better. I know God said to do that, but you know what? And this is the point. Did God say? It's like God's withholding something from me. Did God say, you know, that you shouldn't do this? God knows, you know. And so we get in this thing of just following our reactions. Many times our responses are grooved because we've always responded in a certain way to a condition. We don't even think about it. We don't even think about it as a choice. It's like we're in this groove and we just naturally go our own way because we've always done it that way. We've grooved it. How do you break out of it? You have to decide, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm not going to continue to do it the way that I think that it should be done, or the way I've always acted. So we have responses. People say something to us. They criticize us. We immediately respond in a certain way. Maybe you get defensive. And now you point out why they were wrong in all things they did. Or maybe you lash back. And it's tit for tat. You know, whatever they say, well, I'm going to say that. Well, if that's the way I've always done it. I'm not going to let anybody use me. No one's going to take advantage of me. No, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to let anybody walk over me. And so we just take it for granted. We just do the thing that we feel. But we can't do the thing that we feel. The thing that we think will please us. Jesus didn't. Said even Jesus did not do the things that he wanted, that pleased him. He went to the cross. He chose to do it God's way. That's what he did in Gethsemane when he's praying. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. When you do it God's will, you have to say, I'm not going to do but what I feel. I'm going to do God's will. You have to make a decision. I'm going to do it God's way. And your life will turn around. I mean, this is such a simple thing, and yet it's a revolutionary thing. It's nothing so deep and profound. No, I never thought about that before. It's just that we don't do it. We don't do it God's way. We go our own way. We don't consciously say we know better than God. I mean, we would sort of catch, if the words would catch in our mouth, well, I know better than God. No, we don't say that. We just act on it, though. We just act as if we know better. I know God wants me to do that, but I don't want to do that. You know, God would say, I don't want you going with that person. I don't want you dating that person. Well, I know what God wants, but we have such a good time. And I feel so good when I'm with them. And I think I can change him. I think it can change. I think we can. I think they're open to God. And yet the Bible says very clearly, do not be unequally yoked together. And yet we do it our own way. we're basically saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm choosing to go out the door that I'm going to get gunned down. I'm going out the door with cursing. I'm going to go out where it leads to death. But I know. See, Satan entices us down that road because everything he does, he puts a sugar coating around it. You know, she looked at this tree. It's good for the eyes. You know, everything about it was pleasant. I don't want to do that. It's going to be good. There is pleasure for sin for a season. And yet, the thing kills us. It's like eating chocolate-covered poison. I put it in my mouth and I like the chocolate, but it's soon gone, and then it kills me. And that's how it is every time when you go your own way. You think it's good. We're like little kids. We want the chocolate. We want the candy. We're slaves to our feelings. We're slaves to what we think. And we got to stop and just wise up. We just got to mature and say, you know what? God's way is always the best way. It's not God's way or a good way. The good way is God's way. It's life and death. And God says that he knows he's got to remind us, choose life. I give you life or death. I really think you should choose life. Do it God's way. Let's look at the second reason we do our own way. We act on false ideas and misinformation. False ideas and misinformation. Well, I read something one time, and I see this is the best way to handle my finances. This is the best way to raise my kids. This is the best way to handle a relationship. And we follow human ideas, human ways. And God says, his ways are not our ways. They're not the same. We have to just determine, you know what? I believe God's word. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose blessing. See, you don't see it down the road. Because, see, everything, all the billboards down the wrong way says, this is good, I had lots of pleasure, and, you know, nice place, you're going to enjoy life. And all the billboards, you get past them, and then you find death, and you find cursing. But if we just follow and do it God's way, it says he knows more about you. Listen, he created you. He knows everything about you. He knows your talents, your abilities. Well, I'm going to choose this career path. I know God's really want me to do this, but, you know, I really like to do this. No, it's not that always God leads you in a career path in something you don't like. That's not my point. The point is you should always ask, what's your will, God? What's your willingness? Do you want me to take that course? Do you want me to go down that career path? Lord, what's your will? And you just put your heart in neutral. And you just follow God's will. And you don't act on misinformation. See, Satan came to Eve and said to her, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See, we want to weigh the choices. What's right and wrong? I'll decide it. Rather than just saying, what, God, what are you saying? What do you want in this? And the serpent said, you're not die. See, they didn't die the day that they ate the fruit. Could you imagine? You know, they know God said, the day you eat that fruit, you're going to die. So Eve took the fruit. Serpent says, you're not sure you die. She bit into it, ate it, swallowed it, and said, serpent's right, I didn't die. She didn't die physically that day. She died spiritually that day. We have more than one kind of life. The Bible said the day you eat of it, you will die. Sin killed their spiritual life. Their communion with God was shut off from that moment. It took a while for the physical death to kick in. Adam lived 960 some years before he died. But he died. But he didn't die the day he ate of it. And that's what says, see, half information, misinformation. He wants to take a half truth. I remember one person telling me it was so good for them to They weren't married. They moved. This couple moved. This man and woman moved in together. They were living together. And I remember he told me, he said, God wants us to do this. We're a family now. And I said, God may have in the future you to be a family, but His will is for you to be married. But see, they convinced themselves that this is what God wanted for them. A half-truth. And yet they knew. See, God never leads you down a road of compromise. This is what I want you to do, but you've got to compromise a little bit to do it. That's just a red alert that should go off in your mind. This is not God's way. I don't have to compromise to do it God's way. You just do things with an open heart, sincere heart. Do what He wants you to do. That's how we're to act. Not feeling, well, okay, I know if I do this. See, we have false ideas, false conceptions. We've either picked it up from a talk show or your best friend told you that I wouldn't be putting up with that. No, I wouldn't put up with him any longer. And you didn't know an older and older, or someone at work. A relative tells you to do things. You be careful. They could be telling you good things. But you've got to decide, is it God's way or my way? Don't go by human understanding and human wisdom. Say, I'm going to do it God's way. Because that's the way of life. That's the way where I have peace. That's the place I have joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy comes in the Holy Spirit as you walk in the Spirit. See, the Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. In other words, you have received spiritual life when you became a Christian. But now walk in that Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit telling you to do right now with this step? What pathway do I take here with this step? Always walk in the way of the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in that comes righteousness, peace, and joy. Fruit of the Spirit comes many things, gentleness and goodness and self-control. All the things we desire come from doing it God's way. Everything that would bring a curse on your life or disruption or pain comes when you do it your way. Now, the choice is so obvious, and yet it isn't obvious, isn't it? I mean, we would think we would just choose God's way every time, but we don't. Well, I know that's probably what the Bible says. I just don't. See, why don't we do it? Because we put our ideas above God's ideas. I know more than God. It's crazy. I mean, it really is crazy. And can you let me? I never consciously think about it because it would be like a red flag. But it's just sort of, you know, I feel this is what I should do. And I just try to push God to the back because I don't want to go with my feeling. I just want to go with what I think is best. But God's way is always best. Now let's look at the next one. Why don't we do it God's way? We follow our natural inclination. Our natural inclination. And that's not God's way. I think if I give, I have less. That's my natural inclination. If I give, I'm going to have less. But the Bible says, God says, if you give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I mean, He actually presses it down into you. And it says, whatever measure you use to give, whatever container you use to give it, that's the container He gives it back to you. Now, that's God's way. But isn't it amazing? I think if I give, I'm going to have less. Well, I'd like to give, but I can't. We know the Bible says tithe. But we think if I tithe, 10%, that's a lot of money to give to God. Whoa. And all your friends are saying, oh, don't give to that. That's all they're after is your money. There's always someone there chirping at you, telling you why don't do it God's way. But interestingly, God says in Malachi 3 and verse 10, why don't you just test me in this? Why don't you just try? try me in this. If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, just see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not even able to receive at all. Now that's God's way. And he says, even test it out and see. But see, we put our minds up. We know what God says, but I think it's amazing to this day. As I'm writing my tithe check, or what I'm giving about my tithe, boy, that's a lot of money to give every week to the church. And I immediately think I'm having less. But I actually have more. And here's the amazing thing. As I have followed down God's way, I see his abundant blessing. And I see I have more than when I do it my way. I'm just trying to work it down to where we are to show us how often, as Christians, we don't do it God's way. We still are choosing death. We're still choosing curse. We're still bringing on ourselves all kinds of things because we're not doing it God's way. And yet we think I'm doing it God's way because we're doing it the best way. But we got to come to the conclusion, you know what? What I naturally think is not always the best. Now that reminds me, and I even hate to mention this illustration, but it illustrates it so well. A Seinfeld episode on TV. And those of you that may have watched this episode, you'll know what I mean. George is such a loser. Everything goes wrong in his life. Jerry and George are sitting at the restaurant table. And they're talking. And as they're talking, from time to time, George will say, "That girl's looking at me. She was sitting at another table." And then he goes on, "But everything I do is wrong. I try to do everything I do, it's just wrong. I do this, it's wrong, and it's talking about his work, it's talking about this, and everything he's doing is wrong." So Jerry says to him, "Well, George, it's simple then. Just do the opposite of what you would normally think." And George says, "Yeah, everything I do is wrong. I should just do the opposite of what I would naturally do." So he stands up, straightens his jacket, walks over to the girl, and he says, "Hello, my name is George. I'm unemployed, and I live with my parents." And in the story, she kicks the chair in for him to sit down. Now, that's just a story, and we laugh at it. But there's always a little bit of George in all of us, isn't it? Why is everything I do go wrong? Why can I not have a good relationship? Why am I having trouble with my finances? Why am I having a problem with this and that, and nothing seems to work out? Well, you need to stop and think, well, maybe you're going the wrong way. Maybe you need to do something different. You know, I mentioned that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and thinking you're going to get a different result. I mean, you just got to stop the insanity in your life and say, wait. But rather than just doing it the opposite of the inclination, why don't you say, God's got a plan of purpose for my life. God's got a will for me. He's put his spirit in me. I'm going to walk in the spirit. I'm going to ask every time, 15 times a day, whenever I come to a fork in the road, whether it's my natural inclination or I've grooved this natural response because of my feelings, I'm just going to stop and say, you know what? I'm going to do it God's way. And just see if things don't change. Number four, why don't we do it God's way? We're influenced by our peers. It says in Genesis 3:6, after Eve had eaten, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. She influenced her husband. Listen, peer pressure is a powerful force. What you're watching on TV, the sitcoms you watch, the novels you read, the magazines you read, I mean, it's all molding you into the mold of the world. Thinking the way the world thinks. Reacting the way the world thinks. And it's so contrary to what God's ways are. But we get swept up in it. We move with it. We enjoy it. We get to thinking without thinking. I'm better off to do it this way. Yeah, I know the Bible verse says this, but I'm better off to do it this way. What have we just decided I don't care what Aunt Sally says. I don't care what my friend at work says. I don't care about this book that I've read. It's a bestseller. I want to do it God's way. I want to get into God's word and see what He says. I'm going to gain spiritual counsel. I'm going to do it God's way. And then just see what happens. Just see what the results are. Here's number five, why we don't do it God's way. We only commit halfway. We do commit. I mean, we are Christians. We do say, I want to do it God's way. But we only commit halfway. We don't go far enough. We go partway. We go partway to the point of where it goes against my natural thinking. Well, I'll give a little bit. Yeah, everybody should give a little bit. I should, you know, bear an offense a little bit. I should forgive to a point. But we put a limit on it. A limit of what we think is reasonable. I tell you, moderation is a curse for the Christian. Because we need to be radical Christians. Not half of the time obeying God, but all the time doing it His way. All the time. Everything. Contrary to what other people think. Contrary to my natural inclination. But because I know this is what God has said, and it's right down in the depths of my heart, I know, really, this is what I should do. It many times causes sacrifice. It means that I'm laying something down. See, the Bible says, unless you lose your life, you won't gain it. And if you try to gain your life, you'll lose it. Now, what is, Jesus said some crazy things, didn't he? He said, if you try to gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll gain it. What do you mean? This very thing I'm talking about. He realized in the garden when he's praying, you know, this is the real crunch of it. If he goes by his own feeling, walks away from the cross, does his own thing, he's actually losing his whole destiny, his whole purpose for coming to the earth. But if he lays down his life on the cross, he's going to purchase the salvation of everyone. He's going to fulfill God's word. Now, everything we do is to a lesser degree than that, isn't it? But we're all to take up our cross and follow the Lord and lay down our life in things that we think, I'm losing something by doing this. But knowing I will never lose if I follow God. You'll never lose by following God's way. Man's way ends in loss and death. God's way always ends in life and blessing. And you just need to know that and make a decision. I'm going to do it God's way. That's the challenge for 2016. This is why I feel God's laid in our heart for us to grasp as a church. Let's do it God's way. Oh man, it just sweeps over me now. What would this church accomplish if everybody in it this year did it God's way? What blessings would come to us as a church? What blessings would come into our families? What influence would we have in this city if everyone in the church just did it God's way? It's like opening a tap that the flow of His power could flow through us and bring us blessings that we could never, ever imagine. But we got the tap halfway open. A little bit. And then we cut it back. Well, that's a lot. It's too much in my life. I mean, you gotta be moderate with things. You gotta be reasonable here. Don't get too carried away. We just need to lose our life and just say, you know what, we're just going to check this out. I'm going to do it God's way. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. But you just do it wholeheartedly. Just be absolute. Absolute. No lack. You know, we talk about someone being an absolute ruler. He just has all power, all authority. Doesn't have to respond to anyone. Why don't we just absolutely give ourselves to God? Absolutely. I don't hold back anything. I'm giving it to God. Does it seem scary? Well, yes, because you're losing your life. Yes, you're walking away from what I think is best and what my feelings and my thoughts are, and I'm going down that other path. I'm going to do it God's way. And he just promises us, why don't you just try it and see what blessings come, what changes come, if you just do it my way. Here's your last fill-in. Second to this. Doing it our way doesn't get the results we want. Now, let's be honest about this. How's it been working for you? I mean, that's what Dr. Phil says. Someone's, they mess their whole life out and they tell them why they don't want to do this. And he says, well, how's it working for you? How's it been working for you? Do you have the finances you want? Do you have the relationships you want? Do you have the stability in your home that you want? Do you have the spiritual blessings in your life that you want? Do you have a peace that you want? Do you not feeling any stress? I mean, how's it working for you doing it your way? We need to do something a little different. And so this is what the verse says. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So what fruit did it bring? What's the harvest that's coming in your life? And is it a lasting harvest? Or is it just a temporal harvest that doesn't have any eternal significance? So you have to ask yourself, which way am I going to do this? So here's my challenge to you in your last fill-in. Choose to do it God's way. Choose to do it God's way every day in every way. Choose to do it God's way every day in every way. What if we just made a choice this morning? That's my challenge to you, to make a choice. Will you choose to do it God's way? 2016, what would happen in a year's time? What changes, what harvest would come into your life if you planted all kinds of seeds doing it God's way? What kind of harvest would come back into your life? First Sunday of 2017, what would our story be? What would be our testimony? What increase would we see? What harvest would we expect? If we just for a year, 2016, and I really think this is God's theme for us this year. Break out of your groove. Break out of your lifestyle. Get into God's blessings. Experience his life. Do it his way. Choose to do it his big way. Sometimes a year is too long. But a year is broken into 12 months. What if you just chose January? January. For a month. I'm just going to do it God's way. I know how I've been responding to my spouse. I know how I've been reacting to that person at work. I know what my giving habits have been. But just this month, just January, I'm going to align my life with God's way. Every time I come to that fork in the road, my way, God's way, I'm going to choose God's way. And I'm going to be conscious of it. I'm going to do God. What would happen if I didn't do it? The month. And even that is a little big, isn't it? What if you just got up every morning and said, this day, today, January the 3rd, I'm going to do it God's way. Starting right here at this message, for the rest of today, I'm going to get a guard on my mouth, guard on my tongue. Because, see, our tongue is what gets us in trouble. It's very hard. See, you can't govern it. So what you have to do is just put it in control of God. Scripture says, to only speak words that are edifying to the hearer. That may change a lot of our conversation. That would change a lot of your talk at home, with your spouse, with a neighbor, workmate or classmate. If you just said everything I say, that's God's way. I'm only going to speak words that are edifying, encouraging, building that person up. You know what? I'm going to pray for that person that's spitefully using me. Uses me every day. Does it in spite. You know, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do good to them. What if you decide to do it God's way for one day? No, it doesn't make sense. That won't work. Who's God think he is? He's going to mess me up if I do it his way. And God's saying, why don't you just choose life? I mean, I put before you life and death. Why don't you just choose life? Why don't you just put down your ideas and your thoughts and your what? I'm telling you, this is my best advice I can give you. I put before you life and death. Now, that's the one. Choose life. And we're so dull. Oh, I think I'll do it this way. No, this is better for me. I do it. You do it. Most Christians do it. But what if we walked in the Spirit? Why don't we just choose to do it God's way every day in every way? Doesn't matter what aspect of my life, I'm going to do it God's way. Doing a little test here. I'm going to do it God's way. We're going to experience a blessing that we would never have. Here's the verse, Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. In other words, before they came out of Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt, and they were influenced by that Egypt culture and the gods they had there. Or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. See, they had come out, they had traveled, they had conquered the land. But there's Amorites all around them. And he says, now you choose. Joshua is telling the people, you need to choose today who you're going to serve. You're going to serve those gods that your parents and others of your past, they served? Are you going to serve the gods of this present culture? Get caught up in everything that they are caught up in? Is that how you're going to live your life? Are you going to choose God? And then Joshua says, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. There's some fathers and husbands and mothers and wives that need to make that decision. As for me and my house, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to serve God. We're not going to be deceived and deluded by the things of this world. I'm going to do it God's way. As for me and my house, we will serve. Shall we stand together? So I have a choice this morning after preaching this message. One thing to say it. Am I going to choose? Do it God's way. I'm willing to say, Lord, as for me and this house, this tabernacle that I'm living in, Lord, I'm choosing this day to do it your way. Will you choose this morning? Just raise your hand. You're saying, God, I'll do it your way. I don't know all what that means, and I need you to help me, but I am determined I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to listen to my own feelings. I'm not going to go by my own thoughts and ideas. I'm not going to follow other people. I'm not making a halfway commitment. I'm going to do it your way. Lord, you see us standing here with our hands raised. We're surrendering to you, Lord. We're saying, Lord, we're going to do it your way. We're making a commitment this morning. And Lord, I pray that we will walk and follow through on this, that every time we come to the fork in the road, we will do it your way. Regardless of what we think or what we think it will cost us, we're going to do it your way. And Lord, we know that's the way of life. That's the way of blessing. That's a way that brings to us everything that you have for us. Lord, we lay down our thoughts and our ideas. And Lord, enlighten our minds, bring us to a consciousness in those moments of decision that we realize, no, I'm not going to go that way. That's how I always go. I'm going to do it God's way. And Lord, may our lives change and be transformed. And may you just pour out blessings in our life as a result of this today. May this be a red letter day. May this be a day of change. This beginning, the first Sunday in 2016, that we've decided we're going to do it your way. God, help us. Bless us.